Now that the mass exodus has taken place, we can resume 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to talk about this morning as we're continuing our discipleship study here, the purpose of the local church. You know, it is good that God has not only, you know, originated a local church, but has allowed you and I to be a part of a local church. Amen. We are blessed and privileged to be a part of a local New Testament church. And I hope you never think of it any other way. Don't ever take it for granted. Don't ever think that God's way is not the right way. You know, you'll hear people say all the time, well, my church is out here. My church is in the woods. Look, that's not biblical. We know that. The church is made up of a body of born-again believers of Jesus Christ, and you ought to be very thankful and grateful, number one, that God has saved you and has given you a church family. You know, there's people right now that are leaning on their church family for help and to find grace and to find love. You know, having a church family is something that I've had my whole life, and I never, ever, ever want to be without my church family. I love my immediate family to death, and I'd do anything for them, but I love my church family also. I love knowing that there are men and women that pray for me, that lift my name up to the Lord, and likewise, you should be blessed and very thankful that you have the same thing. Amen. So our local church is very important to us, and it's important to God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, now ye are the what church? Body of Christ and members in particular. Much discussion can be found on the subject of the local church. Those who do not like to mention this New Testament concept generally do not like any type of accountability. Instead, they like to talk about an invisible universal church. While all that sounds good, it is not sustained in Scripture. Almost 99% of the time the word church is used in the New Testament, it is in reference to the local group of believers. Understand, the church is not the building. I know you guys know that. It is made up of believers in Jesus Christ. Besides all of this, there are certain things that a universal church has never been able to do and will never be able to do. It has never baptized one convert. That is done in the local church. It has never received the offerings of God's people. That is done in the local church. It has never sent one missionary to a foreign field or to a local field. That is done through the local church. It has never observed the Lord's Supper. Again, that is done through the local church. You will find that the Bible teaches the concept of a local church, and we need to understand what it says about it. While we know that there are three God-ordained institutions, the home, the government, and the church, it is the local church that God is working through today. We have been commissioned by God to carry out His plan and His ordinances. Since God is working through the local church, every Christian ought to be a member of one. Key word, one. And I don't like the idea. You know, you might see it sometimes. They'll be a member here for a couple of weeks, and then somebody will do something to upset them, and they'll withdraw, and they'll go to the next church. Oh, we want to join your church. Look, there's a reason we have stipulations in a local church for people joining. There's a reason we have a biblical constitution for every man, woman, boy, and girl to read before they decide, yes, we want to yoke up with your church, because I promise you, a lot of them will read that constitution back there that's 100% King James Bible based, by the way, and they'll look at it and they'll say, I don't know about that. And that's the ones where, listen, we want them to worship with us, but you better understand, God has and always will work in unity. You do not want to yoke up with someone that does not believe the King James Bible is the final authority. Listen, if you're in a independent, fundamental King James Bible believing Baptist church, you ought to yoke up with independent, fundamental King James Bible believing people. Amen. Don't go to the other conferences when they're not using the King James Bible and say, oh, I'm just going to hang out with my friends and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. No, you're stepping away from the truth of God's Word and you're getting in a very dangerous spot. And it shows your spiritual level of maturity. I've had many times an opportunity to go take my family and sing, or go take my, and people have asked me to come preach, and I'll say, okay, what do you believe about the King James Bible? Oh, well, we don't use it, but you can. I say, no, sir, I'm not coming to preach in your church, because I stand firm on the Word of God, and I'm not coming to split your church. Amen. Folks, listen, you better make up your mind in these last days. And by the way, we are in the last days. The time clock is ticking, and it's ticking away quickly. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Jesus Christ is anxious, waiting at the right hand of the Father for the trumpet to blow and for God to tell him to go get his children. Listen, it's coming soon, and you better make up your mind that we have a perfect copy of the Word of God and not to stray from it. You've got to have something to stand on. Even the world will tell you, you've got to stand for something or you'll what, church? Fall for anything. I'm tired of independent fundamental Baptists falling for anything. I'm tired of seeing good preachers mount the pulpit one week and the next week get into their bylaws and say, no, we don't need to do this. We don't need to be King James only because we're going to offend somebody. Hey, the Bible is and always will offend a sinner. It's because they have sin in their life and they don't want to hold fast to the truths of God's Word. Let the Bible be the Bible. You know what we need to do? Let God be true and every man a liar, and be okay with that. You got to stand strong on the Word of God as a local church. And listen, I promise you, within every church they're out there, they'll start trying to filter in little things. Oh, well, just because this don't say kings. No, listen, it does matter. It might not matter to you, but let me tell you a secret. It matters to your pastor. And it matters to your God who gave us a preserved word. He did not have to do that. He chose to do that. And we need not mess with it. We must unify ourselves around the Word of God as a local church. The purpose of this is to help each believer understand the importance that Scripture places upon the local church and how we can be part of the work that is going on. What exactly is the local church? Is it just the building? No, it is more than that. The local church is a body of men and women who have been saved. I said the local church is a body of men and women who have been what? Saved. If you're not saved, listen, you're not a member of the local church. That's why we say, here's our stipulations, saved and baptized, and agree in unity that the King James Bible is and always has been and always will be, regardless of how you feel about it or I feel about it, the final authority of the Word of God, and it's something that we can trust and stand on. Always. The local church is the body of men and women who have been saved and called by God to serve in a specific area. They assemble together to worship, to carry out the Great Commission, and to observe the ordinances given to us by the Lord. Paul tells the church at Corinth that they are the body of Christ. We read it in 1 Corinthians 12:27. The Bible says, now ye, talking to the church, are the body of Christ and members in particular. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, raise your hand if you have a physical body. Everybody ought to raise their hand right here. Everybody. Okay, look. How many of you would on purpose knowingly hurt your physical body, put yourself and inflict pain upon yourself, knowing it's going to hurt? Nobody. The Bible says that ye are the body of Christ. And how often do we knowingly inflict pain upon the body of Christ? You know how we do it? Sin. We think to ourselves like this, not really hurting anybody else. But let me tell you something, that's a lie straight out of hell. The Bible says you are part of the body of Christ. And I'll tell you something, I can drop a 45-pound weight on my foot right now, and not just my foot's going to be affected. Y'all okay with that? You can shoot me in my chest, not just my chest is going to be affected. You can slap me in my face, not just my face is going to be affected, is it? Y'all get what I'm saying here? When one member is affected, the whole body is affected. The Bible says a little leaven, what does it do? Leaveneth the whole lump. It's time we understand our sin affects others also, not just us. You don't believe me? Try being a dad and watching one of your kids get in trouble. Y'all all right? I promise you. Try being married and having discord with your wife or husband. The whole house knows, don't they? Why? Because there's discord. There's not unity. Oh, but when there's unity, it's sweet. It's beautiful. We can laugh. We can have a good time. We can open up the Word of God and we can talk. And nobody's upset. But oh, when one person gets upset, that unity is broken. And it affects everybody. You ever been in a setting where you look at your buddy and you're like, what's wrong with that guy? You know what I'm saying? He hasn't told you what's wrong with him, but you know something's wrong with him just by the way he's acting. Folks, listen, it works like that in the church. We are called to be unified. We are the body of Christ. We all have different functions to perform in the church. God has equipped us all with different spiritual gifts. We went over spiritual gifts a few months ago. I hope you know what yours is. Those gifts are to be exercised in the context of the local church for the edification of other Christians. It takes every member pulling his part for the body to be healthy. Think of it like this. When's the last time you edified another church member? When's the last time you shot a text to your friend and said, hey, I'm praying for you today. I don't know why, but I'm praying for you today. The Lord put a lady on my mind. She's 82 years old. One of the ladies back in our church in Alaska this week. And I was praying for her, and I gave her a phone call. And you have to understand, this lady and I go way back. This lady used to come to church with her cane, and she prided herself in whacking me in the leg with that cane. Just every Sunday, I'd walk in, and she'd walk by and smack me. And she called me her boyfriend. She's 80 years old. Well, I called her the other day, and she said, how's my boyfriend doing? I said, I'm doing good, Miss Bonnie. How are you doing? She said, I'd be doing better if you were close enough to smack with this cane right now. She said, what you need, son? I said, I just want to call and pray for you and tell you that I love you and the Lord's got you on my mind. You know what she said? She said, Brother Drew, she said, that means so much to me. And she said, I need to tell you some good and exciting news. I said, what's that? She said, I'm 82 years old, son. She said, often I wonder if God still has a purpose for me. But she said, just in the last couple of months, the Lord allowed me to meet two 60-year-old ladies and put it on my heart to invite them to church. And now they come to church with me Sunday morning and Sunday night, and they sit on my pew. And she said, Brother Drew, I still have a purpose. Folks, listen. She's still part of the body. And she still has a purpose. You say, what are you getting at? I'm getting at, so do you. If you're still here, God hasn't taken that part of the body away yet. And every part of the body has a purpose. It's up to you to understand and be okay with that. If an 82-year-old lady can just decide she can't walk well, she doesn't talk well, she doesn't have a lot of energy, but she can pray and she can open up her mouth and invite someone to church and she can be faithful, and that's what she does. She's not complaining. She just wanted to be used. Folks, listen. I wonder how your body part's doing. Are you at the point of, God's not going to use me? If he wants to use me, he'll have to show me. The Bible says, ask and you shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. You know what that 82-year-old lady did? She asked, God, do I still have a purpose? Oh yes, Miss Bonnie, you still have a purpose. How are we doing this morning? Some people often use this excuse, I can worship at home by myself just fine. And you know what? You can worship the Lord at home by yourself. But for one thing, that's violating biblical principles. For another, they have no concept of what the local church is called together to do. The church has several functions attributed to it in its scripture. Here's a few of them. Number one, and you can look these scriptures up later for sake of time. This is in Acts chapter 2. All the way from verse 42 to 46. Number one, we're called to teach the Bible. Amen. We're going to learn that this morning in church. I'm excited about that. Number two, we're called to provide fellowship for God's people. How many enjoy fellowship? You know, I enjoy the fellowship with my family, and I enjoy fellowship with my church. I mean, it is good to just get around and fellowship sometimes. Just open up and not have to worry about no vile, evil communication. You can talk about your work week and they're willing to listen and they'll laugh with you and they'll smile and you walk away and you feel pretty good after you fellowship with some believers. But now, you ever had bad fellowship? And you're just like, man, I don't want no more of that. Well, let me ask you this. How do people feel after they've left fellowship with you? That's the question. I was always taught, don't ever leave someone's presence without their day being better having been in your presence. My grandma used to tell me that. Don't ever make someone's day worse than it already was, because you just really don't know how their day really is going. You ever heard of faking a smile? People do it all the time. All of us have done that. Anybody ever not faked a smile in here? I mean, we've all faked smiles, but look, it ought to be your purpose to say, you know what? I want to make sure that person has a better day because they were in the presence of me today. And I'm just serving Jesus. And I'm just trying to be in the presence of my Savior. And because of that, I just want to edify and I want to lift you up. That ought to be your prayer. We're called to provide fellowship for God's people. We're called to meet together for prayer. We're called to observe the ordinances of the local church, to reach the community with the gospel. And I just want to stop right here and brag a little bit on you. Because here's what's happening here. Everybody's noticed new families coming in, new faces. You know why that is? It's because people that are coming are catching a hold of what's going on, to the reality of Jesus is coming soon. Could be morning or night or noon. Hell's hot and heaven's not, baby. Listen. It's important to some of the individuals here. They've caught a hold and they're inviting others. I love it when I get texts and say, hey, Brother Drew, we invited a couple families this week, and then it's neat to even, and I'll start praying immediately. Has had nothing to do with me, but you know what I can pray? I can pray, God, could you please bless their faithfulness? And man, when those families walk in the back door and their eyes light up, they're like, whoa, it works. It does work. It's a biblical principle. God desires every man, woman, boy, and girl to hear the gospel and to be saved. Amen? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Now listen, we know everyone's not going to be saved, but it also says, how shall they hear without a what? A preacher. Hey, you could be their preacher. It didn't say pastor. The Bible says sons and daughters preach the gospel, right? Come on. Every one of us have a tongue that we can use and be vocal and tell someone about Jesus. That's a preacher. You're just telling them about Jesus. Inviting them to church. Hey, if you ain't comfortable telling them about Jesus, invite them to church. Let someone else tell them. Let a Sunday school teacher go back there and reap the benefits. You still get it's still on your account too, because you planted a seed. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but who gives the increase? God does. Folks, look, I like it that we're catching on to the reality that we need to be reaching this community with the gospel, and we're doing a pretty good job. But listen, God is able to do so much more. Amen? Don't ever stop. And lastly, you know, we're called to edify the saints. Understanding what the local church is for does not always help us to understand what we are to do. Remember that the Christian life is a life of growth and progress. Anyone agree with that? You know, people say all the time, you ought to be more spiritual today than you were this time last year, right? And if you're not, whose fault is that? It's yours. It's not God's fault. Because he's able and willing to do abundantly above and beyond what we could ever ask or think. You should strive to be more spiritual every day. You begin as a baby Christian and strive toward maturity. This maturing process can be broken down into three general stages. Number one, you can see the come and see stage. The Bible, go look with me in John 1:39. Let's look at some scriptures this morning. John 1:39. The come and see stage. See, Jesus was talking to the people here, talking to his disciples, and he said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. The come and see stage, this is the observing stage, the time when we learn. It is very similar to the child stage in our physical growth. You know what it was? It was the stage that mom and dad, grandma and grandpa had you in when you were just little going to church. How many have been in church since they were just little kids? Look, if you live down here, more than likely you have. But I'll tell you something, it ain't like that everywhere you go. It's not. But you remember the come and see stage when you got up and you went to Sunday school. Anybody remember a Sunday school class growing up? Look, you're coming and you're hearing about things and you're just seeing what this thing's all about. And the next stage, Matthew 4:19 says, follow me and I will make you to become what? Fishers of men. The next stage is the follow me stage. This is the stage when we begin to participate. We have watched, now we're ready to try. We want to serve God in some capacity. And listen, don't ever serve God because a man told you to. Serve God because the Holy Spirit of God convicted you to and gave you a purpose and a ministry. Jump on board and get involved in your local church. You want to be miserable in church? Don't be involved in your local church. You want church to become boring to you? Don't get involved in your local church. You want to be a quitter and be out of church in a few years? Don't get involved in a ministry in your local church. We strive as a family. We've been taught, and thank God that we've had examples before us that have taught us, hey, you know what I'm tired of seeing? I'm tired of seeing kids get 17 and 18 years old when mom and dad don't make them come to church no more, just not come back to church. Well, mom and dad, let me let you in on something. You want your kids to fall out of church? Don't get involved in the local church when they're kids. Teach them that the things of this world are more important than the local church. Teach them that everything out there matters more than a ministry you could be involved in. And don't expect them to love the ministry, mom and dad, if you don't love the ministry. I'm talking about little things. Like after church, a couple of my kids, I tell them, all right, look, after every service, I want you to go through the auditorium. You two get the books, straighten the books up. You grab the vacuum, vacuum the auditorium. It don't matter. You say, why you do that? Because I want them to understand and have a purpose. Brother Randy makes an offering list every week. You know what those little boys look forward to doing? They look forward to coming to church and standing up here loud and proud, getting that offering plate and marching down there and taking your money. They love it. It's a good time for them. But hey, you know what? He could do the offering himself. But what are we teaching the younger generation? We have kids come up here and they sing specials all the time. And what a blessing that is. I've been in churches where there wasn't very many kids that sang. And look, God has blessed this church with many, many, many young people that love to sing. You say, why do you make them sing so much? Because I want them to understand I'd much rather them be standing behind that piano singing for the Lord than in a studio in Hollywood or Tennessee singing for the devil, or a bar singing for the devil. I want them to understand that what they do is important. Junior church. You say, why you got teenagers working in junior church? Because I want them to grasp a hold of a purpose. I want them to understand that they are needed, they are loved, and God can use them. Y'all with me? This is good. I'm just trying to help you. This stuff helped me, and you know, I didn't like it at first. I'm thinking to myself, like, look, I go to church. Ain't that enough? I give to the church. I go to church. I mean, I listen to three sermons a week. That's pretty good, God. But, you know, then I begin to wonder, like, I wake up on Sunday morning, I'm like, oh, got to go to church. You know why church wasn't fun, Brother Joe? Because I wasn't involved. I was just there. Being here doesn't make you involved. Y'all okay with that? It's a fact. Being here doesn't make you involved. Find a little ministry that you can do. There's dozens of them in this church alone that you could be a part of if you wanted to be a part of it. And then there's the come and be with me stage. This is the adulthood of Christian living. This is where the child has watched. He was involved. He has involved himself like a youth by following closely. And now he's ready to lead himself. Here's another reason for getting the younger generation involved. What's going to happen when we're all gone? You know, Brother Scott, you ain't going to be leading music forever. Miss Barb ain't going to be playing piano forever. Not going to happen. Brother Drew's not going to be pastoring this church forever. Y'all see what I'm saying? All around us, there's ministries taking place. And one day, somebody else better be able to say, all right, I need some young men to take up offering. There's got to be another Brother Randy and another Brother Tim. Y'all with me? Somebody's got to fill the shoes. There's got to be more prayer warriors coming up. And don't ever take that job for granted, by the way, ever. There's got to be more workers back there. There's got to be more nursery workers somewhere. But folks, if we're not raising them up to be servants and leaders, where's this church going to be in 30 years? Gone. 40 years. 50 years. You know what I'd like it to be? Busting out the seams. Still winning people for Christ. When I'm dead and gone, it wouldn't bother me to see one of my boys pastoring here someday. Hey, that'd do my heart real good to raise four boys and have them all be a preacher. That's all right. That's a good job. But it ain't going to happen if we don't get behind them and show them the importance of serving in their church. If men don't get behind, I said men, I'll say it again. Men get behind the young men. Y'all catching where I'm going with this? We need some men to teach the young men how to become men. And we need some ladies to teach these young ladies how to become ladies. That's a biblical principle, by the way. See, we got it all crossed up in this world today. And we wonder why these young people are growing up not knowing what in the world they even are. Well, it's because we're failing. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. Folks, we as a local church have a great responsibility. Amen? We're going to unplug here. People are coming in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word and for your truth, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross, Lord. Thank you for our local church. Thank you for this body of believers that you blessed us so tremendously with. Now bless us now in this next hour, Lord. We ask you to let everything we do honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.